You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
It is Monday, June 6th, and we are talking Chicago Cubs baseball today and pinch hitting it today on this Monday for Cubs reporter Kerry Muscat is the television play-by-play announcer for the Chicago Cubs. He is none other than Len Casper. And Len, thank you so much for joining us on this Monday. And I guess a fitting theme for Sunday would be all good things at some point come to an end. And Jake Arrieta starting for this team is almost always a good thing for the better part of a year. Losing for the first time since July 25th of 2015, his streak of 20 straight winning decisions comes to an end. That was the third longest streak in baseball history. And Len, is it one of those cases where, you know, during a streak like this, it's hard to appreciate when the streak is ongoing, but now that it's over, can you kind of sit back and look at the whole thing and say, my God, that was impressive?
Well, I think, Matt, you know, our job as broadcasters is to try to put things into perspective as they're going on. And, you know, I really tried to remember how unlikely and improbable and almost impossible it is to do what Jake did during this 24-start stretch. You know, he always gives your team a chance to win. He threw 7 shutout innings in his previous start, got a no decision. The team took the loss. And then yesterday, he had 12 strikeouts in 5 innings. 9 hits, 10 balls were put in play, and 9 ended up hits. So there was maybe some bad luck involved, and I suppose you could claim that along the way at some point maybe he got a little good luck. He gave up a 2-run hit in the game yesterday. It was only the 2nd 2-run hit he has allowed all year. So it's not only rare to see him give up runs and take a loss, but it's something nobody had seen him really do much in the last almost 10 months. So yeah, I do appreciate it. I think we did appreciate it as it was going on, but as time moves on, we'll probably look back and wonder if it'll ever happen again.
Yeah, one of the most dominant stretches in baseball history, no question. And you brought up the very strange line that he had on Sunday, only the 5 innings, 9 hits and 12 strikeouts. So is it fair to say, as odd as this will sound, that he was both dominant and very hittable at the exact same time?
Yeah, and I thought the Diamondbacks had a pretty good approach. They made him throw a lot of pitches. Michael Bourne led off the game and actually struck out, but it was on the 10th pitch, and that really seemed to set the tone. I think Jake had thrown over 50 pitches through 2 innings, so it kind of felt early like it was not going to be a long day for him. Yet he kept missing bats. He was throwing a 97-mile-an-hour sinker. And again, give the Diamondbacks credit. Patrick Corbin also pitched a little better than Jake did and can now claim that, you know, he's the first guy since Cole Hamels actually beat him, although in Hamels' case last year it was a no-hitter. So right. You have to be really, really good to beat Jake Arrieta.
Yeah, no question there. And, you know, when talking with our Cubs reporter, Kerry Muscat, over these past few weeks, you know, she tells us, and people echo the same sentiment, that Jake Arrieta is not wired like your normal average athlete. You know, he wants perfection every time. He wants to throw a perfect game every time. So knowing this, and I'm sure you would, you know, agree with that assessment of him, what was his attitude after the game yesterday? Because I think some athletes would say, you know what, at some point the law of averages catches up to you and these things have to end. Or is he a guy that still is breathing fire, knowing that, you know what, I could have been better, I could have done this differently, we still should have won? How did he kind of take his first loss in forever?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both, although I don't think he looks back and has too many regrets. And I think that's part of what has made him so good, is that whether he wins, whether he throws a no-hitter, whether it's a no-decision, or like yesterday a loss, I think his attitude is, what do I need to do in 5 days to go out and in this case beat the Atlanta Braves in his next start? So I think he realizes he had really good stuff yesterday and understood that the Diamondbacks were going to make him throw early strikes and work hard to get them out. But he's just going to move ahead and get ready for his next outing, and I'm sure he'll be the same old Jake Arrieta.
Yeah, unfortunately for the Atlanta Braves, as far as they're concerned, no question. And, you know, it hardly goes unnoticed, one of those things that makes baseball so beautiful and so quirky, so unpredictable. Here the Cubs are. They finish off a 10-game homestand. They lose twice. The 2 games they lose are the Jake Arrieta starts. I mean, what are the odds of that, considering how dominant he's been? But to that end, in that vein, Joe Maddon commented after the game that, you know what, there was some visible, you know, frustration and anger, not just by Arrieta, but by his players, knowing that, you know what, we We should have finished things off. We should have finished the homestand 9-1 instead of 8-2. There's still 26 games over 500, something ridiculous. But when you look at how well they've played and how easy it would be to let complacency set in, you know, how encouraging is it to know that this Cubs team, no matter, you know, how many wins they accumulate, no matter how many times they lap the field, they still want to get better each and every single day?
Well, I think it's process-driven, number one. And number two, they like being greedy. There have been a lot of series this year in which they've won the first two games. And a lot of teams would feel comfortable with winning two out of three. But they've gone on to engineer the sweep. I think they've got six series sweeps along the way, something ridiculous like that. And, yeah, they know they're good. They come to the ballpark expecting to win every single day. And I think a lot of people in the ballpark and certainly in the clubhouse yesterday, even though they were down 3-2 for the final, I think, four innings, they felt that the Cubs were going to come back and win that game. It didn't work out that way. You can't win every single game. But when you follow the team like we do every single day, it starts to feel that way, that they are going to win every single game. And, yeah, you'll take 8-2 on every homestand or every 10-game segment the rest of the way, and you're probably looking at well over a 100-win team. But where they sit in the standings right now, what their record is, I don't think the players care about that as much as just going out and winning a ball game today.
And Len, on a personal note, you've been the play-by-play guy for the Cubs for over a decade now. And is this the most fun that you've had behind the microphone for this Cubs franchise?
Yeah, it's been really fun. I've had the pleasure of being around Lou Piniella when the Cubs won back-to-back titles in 07 and 08. And they were built to win at that time. They had a smaller window. They had a veteran-laden club. A lot of it was built based on free agent acquisitions. This one started with the farm system rebuild, some really key trades and acquisitions, and then you bring in Joe Maddon to manage the whole thing. So it you know, it's come together over the last 4 or 5 years, but over these last 2 years, it's been a total pleasure to watch these guys go out there. And all the kids, you know, 22, 23, 24 years old, and they all carry themselves like they're 30 and have been in the league for 10 years. And that's the fun part for me, is just to watch them adjust to the league, watch the league adjust to them, and watch them make those counter adjustments. And I think the sky's the limit. I think Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, Addison Russell, when Kyle Schwarber's healthy again next year, you're looking at possibly four or five perennial all-stars for the next 10 to 15 years.
I certainly agree there. And we've talked about in our previous weeks on this podcast the tremendous balance between all that wonderful youth and promise and potential, which is being realized by many of these guys, and the balance with the veteran free agent guys that have come in, the John Lesters, the John Lackeys, the Jason Haywards. So is it a matter, I mean, we see a lot of teams in baseball that have great young talent, but they're not necessarily winning the games the Cubs are. Can the Cubs attribute this to the great balance they have between the youngsters and the veterans?
Sure, I think that's definitely in play here. Lester signed when the team, had no guarantee that it was going to be a 500 team, let alone a playoff team last year, but he believed in the plan. Obviously, knowing Theo Epstein from his days in Boston helped. But I think the Lester signing, then you bring in Joe Maddon, that kind of got everybody else excited. You know, if Lester's not here, John Lackey may not show up on the radar. You get Jason Hayward, whose team, the Cardinals last year, were sent out of the playoffs by the Cubs. Ben Zobrist with his relationship with Joe Maddon. And just the idea of being a part team that could win the World Series for the first time since 1908. It's a great carrot, I think, for a lot of free agents. And I think if you went around this clubhouse right now, every guy would tell you that they would rather be here than anywhere else. And that pervades the whole thing here, that they're really proud to be Chicago Cubs. They believe in their system, and they think they're going to be really good for a long time to come.
I go back to one of my favorite baseball quotes from Pedro Martinez after the Red Sox won the 2004 World Series, ending their epic World Series drought at 86 years. He said, "I would not trade one ring in Boston for three rings anywhere else." And I think that if the Cubs pull it off this year in 2016, ending the 108-year drought, that every player on that team is going to have the same sentiment as Pedro did back in 2004, winning it with the Red Sox. And Len, to wrap up here, we've talked about, you know, Jake Arrieta. We've talked about John Lester. Jason Hammel, in my mind, might be the most unheralded, underappreciated pitcher in the entire game. You know, all this guy has done, as of this discussion, is post the fifth-best ERA in the National League up to this point. You know, he's still in the shadows of guys like Lester and Arrieta. They've got the name recognition, but how impressed have you been with what Jason Hamill's done this year?
Incredibly impressed. It was not a good finish to his season. Had a bad second half. Was bothered a bit by a leg injury. Worked on his nutrition. Worked on his mechanics. Worked on the mental side of the game in the offseason. Wouldn't say he overhauled everything. I think he just tweaked some things. Came back a man on a mission. His fastball's been really good. He's been more unpredictable, using his curve maybe a little bit more often. In the past, it had been basically fastball slider. He's relied on his defense quite a bit. And he's clearly a very competent guy right now, and you're right. It has really lengthened the rotation. You could put the Cubs' 4 and 5 starters, Hamill and Hendricks, up against just about anybody else, and they're 1 or 2 right now in terms of their numbers. The rotation has been jaw-dropping in terms of the results, and the Cubs feel very good about where they stand. And if I had to come up with one main reason the Cubs are where they are, there have been a lot of them, but I think I would start with their rotation. That has really set up everything else.
It certainly has. It's been tremendous. And I know that, you know, Jason Hamill is, it does not have the physical build that Jake Arrieta does. But, Len, when I see these guys' headshots from the neck up, could they pass as twin brothers, or is it just me?
Yeah, well, I think it's the beard. I think the beard kind of gives it away for sure. They both have the ability to grow a pretty thick beard in about a time. So that's probably what you're seeing.
Yeah, I think it definitely is the beer that gives it away, but any way that you can imitate Jake Arrieta cannot be a bad thing, as Jason Hamill has proven for the 2016 season, at least thus far. Hopefully that can continue. Len, we really appreciate the time on this Monday, and good luck to the Cubs, of course, as they embark on a long road trip through Philadelphia and Atlanta, and we will hopefully do this again at some point this season. So, Len, thank you very much. We appreciate the time.
Thank you, Matt. I appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. That is Len Casper, the TV play-by-play voice of the Chicago Cubs. And we'll do the Cubs podcast again at this time next week. In the meantime, Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extra Chicago Cubs.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.